This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey everybody, it's Gary Vaynerchuk, and I'm super excited for this interview today. A young gentleman, who has done an incredible job, in my humble opinion, from the outside, of producing meaningful content to his community. And we're gonna find out how Hiram Yarbrough's journey began, his backstory. And then I'm really, you know, one of the reasons, and I reached out to him, which is rare for me, but I think he has a perspective and an opportunity to help a lot of listeners understand some of the contemporary opportunities in content creation. And so I'm really excited to have him here. Hiram, how are you?
Good, I'm great, how are you?
I'm well. So let's actually go way to the way beginning. Give me 2 minutes of the origin story. Where were you born? What kind of kid were you? What were your interests? Let's get right into that first.
For sure. So I was born in a tiny country town called Paulden, Arizona. I grew up on a cattle ranch. My dad was a cowboy, literally in the middle of nowhere, a little country kid. And grew up as always a pretty idealistic and a big dreaming kid. I always wanted to get out of there, first of all, but do big things. I just didn't know how or when.
When do you remember thinking that way? 5, 6, 7, 8?
Literally as soon as I
couldn't remember.
Started having thoughts. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to do big things. I was always the kid who could never decide what I wanted to be when I grew up because I just wanted to be everything. I remember coming to that conclusion when I was in middle school, just thinking, you know, I just wanted a job where I could just do every single type of job out there.
Did you think of yourself creative? Did you think I want to be an actor or a musician? Mm-hmm. Did you think about being, was it entrepreneurial? Were you like, I want a business? Like, how did it kind of frame in those early days?
You know, in the early days, it was naturally entrepreneurial, although I don't think I recognized it to be entrepreneurial. But early on, I did want to, you know, I wanted to be an author, and then I wanted to, you know, be a traveler and a National Geographic photographer and all these different things. But it wasn't until I was early in high school, that's when I started first creating my businesses. I started doing online website design, that I really started to grasp the idea of just being an entrepreneur really was my passion. And during high school was really, I mean, I remember when I was 7 years old, I started, you know, learning how to build websites, and I was constantly always that little kid who was making new businesses and trying to like sell my family on my products and businesses all the time. But it wasn't until I was in high school where I was able to quit my bagging job at a grocery store to do website design. And I was just booking clients left and right like crazy, where I started to realize, okay, I think something along the lines of building my own business is definitely where I'm interested in.
And then what happened?
Well, and then I ended up moving to Hawaii kind of out of nowhere.
Didn't Your family really expect or you? It.
Just me by myself. I moved here. I'd never been here before. I didn't know anyone. So it was just a brand new
move. Was that out of offense or was that defense? Were you struggling and said, I have to get the hell out of here? Or were you, oh my God, I need to go see those, you know, volcanoes and waves and that culture? So were you in a point of your life where it was needed to escape, or was it a point in your life where you just wanted to go on the offense for the adventure?
It was a little bit of both. I definitely was in a really toxic home environment to where I felt like I was, you know, being suppressed in so many different ways, and my dreams were just not being able to be accomplished. So I wanted to leave for that. I was, how old was I? 18? Maybe just turned 19, somewhere around there. But I also wanted to be in a place that was really culturally diverse. Growing up on a cattle ranch, you don't exactly see the most diverse population. So that was kind of the appeal. Also, I hate the cold. So I was like, where is a place?
You knew nobody in Hawaii?
No one. I didn't know anyone.
So what did you do?
It was hard, but it was amazing. So I first started going to school. I was studying entrepreneurship and international cultural studies and anthropology. And I just rapidly started learning what I want to, but I kind of quickly started to realize that school exactly really wasn't the thing for me. I felt so boxed in. And I felt like I was being forced to take classes that I just had no interest in. And I'm all about practical application. And once I realized, well, first of all, I was absolutely broke. I had 25 cents a day for food, no money whatsoever. I wasn't getting, assistance. And
did you ever get so deterred that you thought about leaving, or were you just fighting through? You were just committed, or a mix of the two again?
I was fighting through because I was like, you know, I had always just imagined myself as, you know, an academic, someone who was going to get like lots of degrees and everything.
So you thought we had a little technical difficulty there. So let's pick this right back up. So you thought that you were going to have all these degrees. Now you're realizing not for me. So what happens next?
So I ended up dropping out because I realized very early on, like if you're an entrepreneur and you're building your own businesses, it doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It's not going to matter to investors and to other, you know, business people alike. So I ended up dropping out and started just like working a normal job while pursuing side passions, one of which was YouTube.
So let's talk about that. Did YouTube take off for you? Did it take time? Like, help everybody who's listening understand the journey.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely took time. I'd say for the first year and a half I was on, that was partially, I started in 2017. Okay. I'd say it's probably my fault. I wasn't really fully committed. I was uploading maybe like twice a month, very irregularly. No really clear path as to exactly who I wanted to be, what type of content I wanted to create. It was more so just focused on skincare and trying to help, you know, educate on the basics.
Even at that point, it was very focused on skincare.
Yep. I realized right away, like I had been working as a makeup artist, but I realized makeup was really, really saturated and there was a great need for skincare information and knowledge, but no one was really filling that void at that time. So I decided to start, you know, filling that void by creating content focused on skincare.
And at that point in your career, how educated were you on skincare, let's say in comparison to the way you are now?
Not very much. I was definitely more new to it. I wanted to share the little bit of knowledge as I had, but I was able to grow collectively through, you know, information I got from dermatologists and chemists, from my audience holding me accountable, from my own personal research, studies, all that kind of stuff.
Did you have the confidence to, when you first started that, to be upfront with the audience and say, hey, I'm learning in this journey? Or did you do what 99.9% of the people do, which is maybe try to have the confidence, maybe the fake confidence of knowing more than you did, but then once you realized that there was too many people and too many eyes on it to fake the funk, did it change your trajectory of how you spoke about it and you doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down on education while layering humility when you weren't 100% sure? Because I think this is where you can help a lot of people, Hiram. Like, I think a lot of people make that mistake. And I actually genuinely don't know if you did or didn't. I'm just curious if you, when I ask that question, where does your mind go?
Yeah, I mean, very early on in my channel, I was called out by multiple subscribers for like spreading wrong information. And I immediately started shifting my content to fall in line with, you know, the feedback I was getting. I wasn't like over the top transparent in the sense of, well, not transparent. I wasn't like profoundly communicating like I was wrong. It was more so like making small corrections and saying, I used to think this, but now I think this because I was told this, this, and this, and I was called out and I was, you know, made aware that I was wrong. And that was something I wanted to
do. Has that experience helped you now that you've built such a big platform in having empathy for other people that are, you know, because it's a really interesting journey. Actually, because a lot of audience probably doesn't know this. Why don't you give people a sense of your community? You know, obviously, you know, followers aren't the end all be all, but just as a sense of context, give us a little sense of what's going on with you on TikTok and YouTube these days and anything else.
Yeah, for sure. So skincare has become a lot more popular. And because of that, I've been able to grow quite rapidly on YouTube in December, or around the end of last year, I hit 100,000 followers on YouTube, and I'm now at 3.8 million, somewhere around there. And TikTok, I started posting in March, and now at 6.5 million.
Do you believe that TikTok? Do you believe your hyper growth on TikTok led to the explosion of YouTube subscribers?
You know, funny enough, I think it was partial because I was already at, I think, somewhere around like almost 2 million subscribers when I. Well, no, that's a lie. I think, yeah, it definitely played a part. I had hit 1 million subscribers at the beginning of the year. And
I've been seeing that a lot. I've been seeing a lot of people's YouTube and Instagram explode from the reality of the virality loop of TikTok. And it's been really interesting. I think your generation, which, you know, is a younger generation or a generation that first hits pay dirt on TikTok, has been more strategic and thoughtful. This is a general statement, but has collectively been more strategic of building out Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. Whereas I noticed 5, 7, 9 years ago, the people that were hitting on Instagram stayed isolated, and same with other platforms. And I've been spending a lot of time thinking about that, and was curious if you had experienced that.
I mean, yeah, the benefit and the whole reason why I was initially attracted to TikTok was just the extreme virality that can come so rapidly. And I will say on YouTube, that's where I got my first spurt of growth, you know, hitting 100,000 at the end of the year. And then in like February or March, hitting 1 million
on YouTube was pretty rapid growth for me. That's insane. Did that happen on the back of one or two videos, or was it just consistent?
Just consistent. Funny enough, there wasn't like one viral video or anything. It just was like upload after upload after upload, just started gaining a lot of traction.
How did you deal with the transformation of, wait a minute, this might be happening, right? You've always, we started this conversation with, you're dreaming about some version of this as a kid. You're in December, you had 100,000, which is not even a year ago, which is remarkable, but a very big different place than where you are today as you and I speak. So what is starting to go through your mind in January and February, in early March, let's say right before COVID, because that probably obviously added new realities into your mind. Yeah. But like when you, let's just try to pick on Valentine's Day. Are you looking in the mirror and saying, oh shit, it's happening? Because when you have that kind of sustained growth, you definitely feel it. You can sense something's happening. Was that a challenge? Was that unbelievably exciting? Like how did you quantify that first quarter of this year where you're like, oh shit, this is happening?
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly unbelievably exciting. Thankfully, I really didn't feel any pressure or any like anxiety about it. It was more so just standing back in amazement. I definitely was a little bit more strategic in the content that I was creating, obviously seeing what was working and saying, okay, I'm going to start replicating that strategy. One of the things that really exploded was my reaction videos. So I just started doing those, which has really sustained my growth. But thankfully I didn't feel any like
define reaction videos for everybody in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do videos on my channel called Specialist Reacts, where I react to, you know, people doing terrible things to their face, or celebrity skincare routines, or TikTok crazy skincare videos, just different things. And I think I always make sure to capture my genuine reactions, and people, I think, gravitate towards that kind of like humor, entertainment, also paired with helpful skincare information.
With this, so what's happening now? Give an insight to the parents or the youngsters or the people in your bracket right now that have aspirations for influencer or business built around a personal brand. What's the state of the union of your world now? What's different today than a year ago today? Let's do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say what's different today with access to a platform like TikTok, it is easier to go viral than ever. I'm used to, you know, YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, where you kind of have to play the long game. You know, you really have to trust in the algorithm for a long term, which usually weeds out the majority of people. TikTok, I'm seeing so many people who their first video gets over 1 million views within a day. Just crazy virality.
And what about for you? I mean, do you have brand deals that are different? Do you have a team around you that's different? Like, give me, because I think a lot of people like to learn the aspects of what happens when it hits. What's different with your team, without prying the economic opportunities, just from an education standpoint of the growth of an influencer at this white heat moment? Like a year ago today, you had how many people with you? How about now? Like, let's start with that one actually.
Yeah, a year ago today, I had one person who was my manager, just my friend that I had employed because she believed in my channel as much as I did. Today, I have a team, I mean, technically more people than I can count kind of assisting in it, but my direct team is like 6 people that I work with directly, like on a day-to-day basis for things like editing, management, coordination,
the production team,
stuff like that.
The production team in your world.
Yeah, essentially production team. But then I also have, you know, a management agency and, you know, a financial team stuff.
I love that. And has that been hard or has that been great?
It's been a mixture of both, not going to lie. There is no manual out there, unfortunately, for like how to go about this extreme level of growth. And for me, what I did for so long was just reference what other, you know, creators were experiencing, but very quickly the level of growth I was seeing, I was like, I've never seen this before. So I don't really have anyone to reference to go off of. So it has been very bumpy, but I think I've been fortunate in really finding good people to partner with, good teams to work with. And thankfully I'm pretty financially responsible as is. So dealing with this, you know, kind of massive growth in, you know, economic opportunity, I've been able to, you know,
how much of a challenge is it for an influencer that sits on, you know, reacting and focusing on the quality of brands to then do brand deals? It must put you in a pickle. it must be a challenge. You know, actually, where do you stand on clean products, or like what's your positioning in kind of the skincare universe? Because I know you carry a lot of, I mean, at this, you know, just to educate everybody who's listening, you know, especially with a younger skewing audience, this young man's voice, much like, you know, I lived it in 2006 and 7 and 8 with young people in America drinking wine. My opinions, and that's what it is, carried some weight, and wineries both struggled with that and were excited about that when I was in the white heat moment. But that was the 2006, 7, 8 era of YouTube, when 90% of the world wasn't on the platform, the sheer size and scale of audiences today in comparison. So, you know, it must be crazy for you to know that some of the biggest brands in the world and the biggest, you know, consumer packaged good companies in the world know exactly who you are and talk about you in boardrooms and strategize on how to get your support. Emerging brands probably are sitting around right now who are about to launch a brand saying, if we can just get Hiram to like give us a good review. Like, that, how do you balance not becoming too egotistical, staying humble, trying to find business opportunities for you and your future family and wants and dreams while staying responsible to your mission? Like, you know, there's a lot there to balance, brother.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. And I think for me, I don't let myself think about it too much. Honestly, I feel like when you let yourself think about like the exact depth and the exact impact of like what your words will make or whatever, I think that's kind of like a bit of a tricky path. I try to balance.
Are you scared of that at times? Like, shit, I'm about to pan this thing and like that's going to make a lot of people upset? Or like, because like sometimes you're like, listen, I lived it, you know, I'm going to do this for my audience. Ah, shit, there's somebody's livelihood on the other side of this. You know, like, you know, and listen, I think you also, I'm sure, playing the humble card, which realized, look, I've got a hyper growth platform, but there's a million voices in the category. So it's not like my pro or con is making or breaking, but it's starting to carry some real juice. And that is a big responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always just view it as long as I'm acting from a really moral and ethical standpoint and making sure that I am as, you know, grounded and, you know, really empathetic as possible with all my decisions and with the way I view everything. That's the way to go. I also have set a standard of like kind of what you were talking before. My standard, my opinions around skincare are very, very like specific, and holding myself allows me to navigate.
Give me some. I think some people would enjoy it.
For example, one of the things that's known for my brand, I really don't like fragrance. I just don't think it's necessary in skincare. And when I see fragrance, it is a pet peeve of mine, because it excludes an entire group of people that aren't able to access those products because of fragrance allergies and sensitivities. So that's one thing that in my brand review videos, I really call them out for, just saying like, brands, you need to have products that are accessible to people who have fragrance allergies. It's not right that all of your products are only fragranced and excluding an entire group of people. Also talking about sustainability practices, when I see that the products are not recyclable or that it's unnecessary waste. I think for me, my audience accepts my really authentic voice, that I don't have a problem just like calling them out. And I think one thing that really does kind of humble me is at the end of the day, like, I'm still sitting in a room by myself talking to the camera, just like I did when I started and I realized no one's watching my videos. And so for me, I see people watching my videos as a bonus to what I love doing, which is creating videos. People watching is just the bonus, you know, the icing on top of the cake.
Who was the first person, celebrity or brand, that reached out to you that you literally went into the, oh my God, I cannot believe XYZ just DM'd me or liked my video?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'd say when Karlie Kloss wanted to collaborate,
you were like, first time where I was like, shit.
Okay, this isn't just YouTube. This is a huge, and she wants to collaborate with little me. You know, that's where I think, that was a huge moment.
Don't bullshit me here, because I really want to help a lot of people who are listening. Did you at that point know there was juice going and something like this was possible? Or was it, did she find you early enough where you were like, I can actually not fucking believe this? And don't try to go the humble route, because I think it's important. Like, when I got started getting reached out to A-list caliber individuals, I already knew that it made sense to me because I knew something was happening, much more than, let's say, in 2007 when the Conan O'Brien show, O'Brien show reached out to me in the first year I was on YouTube to put me on the show.
Oh, nice.
I genuinely clicked the email to see if it was like one of those emails where it was really one of my buddies making up a fake email. Because at that point, I wasn't in the mindset of like, this could happen. Where were you on that? Were you of the place where you already had a lot of hype going, or was that early enough where you were like, I can actually not believe this?
The hype had already started a little bit to where I started to really capture what, you know, really who I was and what my space, you know, my place in the space would be. For a long time, it was just kind of like, oh, if I get 100,000 subscribers, that'll be the best thing ever. Dream come true, which it is. But now it's, you know, after that, after I started seeing rapid growth, I started to realize, okay, I obviously have a much bigger role in this space. And so, yeah, I think it was right at around the beginning of that understanding. Yeah.
What are you most worried about these days with having this kind of platform? When I say that, what comes to mind? Is it about making the right decisions to maximize the moment? Is it having a video that goes viral for the wrong reason and dealing with all that ramifications? Is it burning out from this category, but having, like, there's a lot of things that would make sense to me. I gave you three examples. Is there any, when I say what you most worry about, because at this point, and I'm gonna make some assumptions here, but please clarify if I'm right or wrong, because I want the audience to learn from this. You're probably making dollars that you didn't anticipate or you dreamed about. How old are you?
Yes. Huh? I'm 24.
Right, you're an extremely young man. You're making financial success that you probably, it sounds like, dreamed of and thought probably for a lot of reasons, listening to your story, you thought could be possible, but now it is happening. So there's that. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's just a lot going on for this, someone this young. You know, I remember, you know, just think about so many people coming through my office in the last year, Charlie and Addison, like I'm thinking about all those conversations and where it leads to. Give an insight to somebody who thinks you're so lucky of some of your concerns, anxieties, of what happens when you get to this level of pedestal. Like, what is it for you?
Yeah, I don't usually like to be vocal about it, but there are a lot of stressors. There are a lot of things. I'd say my most stressful thing is ensuring the longevity and sustainability of my presence. You understand more than anyone, the internet is a place where people can just shoot up and then boom, disappear out of nowhere. And really navigating that and surviving that is extremely difficult. And I think for me, my mindset is so rooted in, like, I have to maximize every opportunity right now, because this may not be available next year. I may not be getting this level of views, this level of attention next year. So I have to maximize every opportunity. And with that, you know, comes essentially
burnout,
you know, over agreeing to too many things, because, you know, I'm so stressed and anxious all the time about that.
Can I ask you a question on that? Cause I'm passionate about this. No shit, like, true friends right now. Let's pretend we're super best friends, super fast.
Cool.
Like, let's pretend nobody's listening. Do you in your heart believe that you're a one-hit wonder, or do you think you can sustain this for a decade?
I think I can sustain this for a decade.
So that's my sense of watching you from afar. So let me say this. I hit in 2006. It's 2020, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I haven't hit and I haven't started. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, my friend, with all my heart, if you actually believe that, and I actually believe you, that's why I wanted to ask you, I wanted to hear it for myself, you need to take a huge exhale, because you will. Because what you talked about was so important. I knew I would be too, because I enjoyed the process, not the accolades that came with it. Not the money, not the pseudo fake, you know, influencer fame. I knew that I just liked it. Yeah. And I think you have a real shot. I think the biggest vulnerability you have at 24 with this level of power, and that's what it is you walking around saying, I have all these teenage young girls listening to my advice in a real way. And that's truth. I mean, you know, I know it because I watch the game, the amount of 10 to 18 year olds. And that's what's so fascinating, right? You're seeing 9, 10, 11 year olds really take skin. I mean, there's 11-year-olds that know more about skincare. I would argue that the average 11-year-old today knows more about skincare than the average 40-year-old 20 years ago knew about skincare. The education levels are through the roof. You know, I could see how you could be like, fuck, this is a lot of power. Like, you just need to stay in the pocket of not getting too high on yourself. And if you can control that, you can moonwalk to success. I really believe that, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that advice. Yeah, I mean, my stress and anxiety is usually rooted around, like, I think this fear of, like, you know,
it going away.
Yeah, and not so much from like a clout perspective, but more so just from like a you know, growing up in the environment I did, it was always a very like, you have to survive because no one is there for you. And I think being in that environment has kind of instilled this fear in me to where I'm always like, I have to work as hard as I can. But you're absolutely right.
The other thing is being thoughtful about your money. I heard you earlier say you're responsible. It's really about buying things that you genuinely need and genuinely want, not just going through the motions because you have it. People sometimes have like their wallet on fire when they have money in it, as if they need to spend it. I think one of the things that gives calm to people that go through what you're going through right now is not spending it, which then allows them to be a little less anxious. I actually really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, when you grow this quickly, at least for me, stability is something that is not as commonplace. And for me, the warmest sense of stability I could find is just making sure my day-to-day life did not change at all. And I love it that way. I love not having my day-to-day life change.
Where do you live now?
I live Hawaii.
Still?
Oahu. Yep, still. And I love it. I like it being the same. I like my day-to-day life being, you know, pretty normal, because I feel like if I were to live in LA and was around like influencer culture a lot every single day, I don't think I'd be in the same position, and I don't think I'd be able to stay grounded. Me personally, because you're surrounded by that.
Right. Every second you're getting DM like, yo, come here, be this, show up to this.
Yeah.
What about going to public? Like I assume because you have interest in this, you find yourself going to Sephora or Ulta or some of these places.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with like the cliche scenario of like 4 15-year-old girls freaking their fucking face off when you walk into Ulta?
You know, I love it because I view them as friends I didn't know I had. And when I see people recognize me in public, I see them as like, you are this person who has invested so much time into learning about me and engaging with my content. Now I get to learn about you and who you are and like develop this relationship that I didn't know, you know, was present. So I love it. It's very humbling to me. And it's a moment for me to get away from the internet and just express in person my gratitude and my thanks for, you know, everything that my audience has built for me. So I really enjoy it.
What do you consume? Podcasts, TikTok accounts or other influencers, Netflix? What are you currently consuming?
I consume a lot of TikTok, all different kinds. And still YouTube. I do a lot of humor and I do a lot of business. It's my passion. I love humor because for me, seeing the way people kind of like rapid fire through entertainment kind of inspires me to do a better job of that in my videos. Because I always want my videos to be entertaining, not to people who are interested in skincare, to everyone, to, you know, no matter who you are, to make people who are not interested in skincare, interested in skincare, but also business, to be able to apply those strategies to what I'm doing.
And anything stand out recently in consumption patterns, like specifically a podcast or a show or an influencer or a content provider? Anything?
Oh, that is so difficult, because even with my TikTok, I'm always just consuming new content.
Are you in For You mainly, or you have a set group?
For you.
Yeah. Hiram, let me ask you an interesting question. Do you feel that you have the permission to do something completely left field on your channel? Like, do you think that you could make a cooking video right now, or could make a TikTok around pancakes? Or do you feel a little bit the pressure of the category you're in and what's needed to, let's say, subconsciously in your own mind, feed the algorithm? And if I do this video about water balloons, it might not do as well, and maybe that fucks me up for my next 15 skincare videos. Speak about the life of the jails that I presume, you know, content producers are making. And do you actually feel that? And can you share a story of wanting to break out of it, or trying to break out of it and not doing well, or doing it, or where are you at with my perception of this new reality?
I mean, that's a fear. I never want to pigeonhole myself into one specific niche, that when that niche kind of isn't as popular, that I go down with it, sort of thing. I have done it. I made a second channel called Selfless. I did a video talking about how I was a humanitarian and why I regret it. And that video, I think, has over 2 million views. It's my first video on the channel.
But you felt that you needed to go different channel than to go in your main feed. And is that because of the concern of what will it do off of this thing that is the golden goose? Because it's an important insight that I think will help people.
The algorithm, yeah. I do worry about disrupting the algorithm by diversifying my content too drastically. I think there is a benefit to aligning yourself with a very specific niche. But, you know, that's also the benefit I see in growing other platforms as well. That's why my TikTok is a little different and my Instagram is a little different from my YouTube channel. And my Instagram, I like to be purely just photo personality based, not skincare whatsoever. TikTok, I like to be humor with a balance of skincare, and then YouTube, mostly skincare. That's where I find a little bit more justification for that. But yeah, I do have a little bit of humor disrupting too much.
Have you podcasting? Do you have one? I apologize, I don't know. Have you considered one?
No worries. Yes, definitely considering potential planning phase right now. So yeah, I'm excited about developing that.
Book? Have you considered writing a book?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, my dream since I was younger was to be an author. I think I just want to wait for the right time for a book. I think it's a good idea to not just like oversaturate in terms of so many content, especially when focused on longevity. So I'm trying to be very strategic in how I approach that, but absolutely book. That's always been a dream.
Have you considered LinkedIn? Because so many in that audience would not be aware of you, but could probably get a ton of benefit from your skincare advice, which would then, you know, it was really funny. People that follow me know about 2 years ago, I started getting very loud about both TikTok and LinkedIn at the same time. Mm. And it played out in real life. I did quite well on both platforms. And Sure enough, my litmus test is the airport, because I'm always there, who comes up to me. And all of a sudden, you know, obviously in 2020, it became a lot more 65-year-old businessmen and women at the gate, and 12-year-olds and 11-year-olds when I was going for candy. The airport, and so or wherever. Awesome. So I kind of view your generation, your genre, having huge potential on LinkedIn because it has the same organic reach dynamic that TikTok does. Mm. Yet I don't see anybody, call it under 30, seizing that opportunity. And I think your subject matter plays extremely well to it. Something I think you should consider.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you for suggesting that. I mean, that's I think one of the benefits of being in a product-based business niche is that, you know, you'll automatically attract, as opposed to just purely humor or a prank channel or something like that. There's a lot more opportunities when you're aligning yourself with a product-based industry. And I've never even considered LinkedIn. So thank you for suggesting that, because I haven't. I'll have to start looking into that. That sounds amazing.
Before we get out of here, anything I can answer for you?
Oh, I would just say in terms, you've been in the industry for a while, you've seen so many different creators rise and fall. You've seen the tides of the influencer industry and you've seen apps come and go.
Yes.
Out of everything that you've seen, what is your like one piece of like golden nugget advice, your piece of advice that you would want, you know, a creator to walk away with after like a consultation with you or a meeting with you or something like that, something that you've seen common.
Yep. So it's funny. It's the same reason I reached out to you in a world where I do that very rarely. I think you have two of the core ingredients for success. One is, I call it cocoon culture. You're living in your cocoon. You're staying in Hawaii. You're keeping it tight. You're self-aware enough to know, if I go to hype houses in LA, I'm going to subconsciously go out more often, interact more often, get into the gossip and the culture of it. And that may veer me out of my focus. So I think number one is cocoon culture, staying in your own cocoon, keeping it humble, working on your craft. Right now at your point, instead of doing that, tripling down on your expertise around the products, getting more educated on the chemistry and the way it all works. Number two is genuine patience. And it's funny, this answer is leading into how this interview went. I asked you if you really, really believe, and I've asked that of people, and sometimes they say, almost everybody says yes, but I don't always believe them, but I believed you. And I think if you believe yourself and know, 34-year-old Hiram is still gonna be a kid and I might be talking about something altogether different. And 44-year-old Hiram is Gary's age right now and he still doesn't feel super old to me, and that's 20 years from now. And I remember being 24 thinking 30-year-olds were old, so I can't imagine what you feel about me at 45 in a couple of weeks.
No, not at all.
No, but I mean it, but I mean it. I say it with real empathy and compassion and sympathy and understanding. You know, when you're 24, 44 feels like a very long time because it's such an overwhelming percentage of your entire life. If I could give you or any other influencer or any other kid for that matter, any advice, is you would be blown away that I feel like I'm your friend and your contempt. I feel like we're the same. It's just how you feel at this age if you're alive and happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I would say lean heavily on patience, live in your cocoon. And then I would say challenge yourself to make yourself uncomfortable. For example, I love that you started another channel to do other things. I would even challenge you as a friend to putting out one piece of content that shows a completely different side of your reality on your main thing. Because what that does is it gets you comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who talks about wine and the jets and business and garage sailing, and I'm all over the place. The algorithm is not your enemy. It's a figment of most people's imagination. If you are good, you will win. And if you genuinely love fast food or a new clothing style or a new music artist, I actually think it's healthier to break your pattern of being subconsciously, succumbing to the algorithm and fearing it. I think it's healthy to break that. So I would say number three would be to do things that are uncomfortable and different just to learn from them and get yourself comfortable. Mm-hmm. With the feedback being like, I don't like that, go back to the other thing, or stay in your, I started making business content, Hiram. People literally said, stay in your lane, wine guy, just make wine content.
Wow, that's crazy. I can't imagine that.
So I think take from that story and kind of live that game.
Oh no, I love that, thank you. You're absolutely right. When I started, when I did like reaction videos and stuff like that, so not what I wanted to do at all. I literally did one reaction video and I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again. That was awful.
And it became the thing.
Became huge, exactly. And I think once, you know, I think a lot of creators get to this size, they get comfortable creating the same type of content. And I love that because I want to push myself to do things.
And let me give you one. If you find yourself being into something that is similar to your audience too, like I'll give you a great one. I have no idea where you sit on candy, but if I'm you and I like candy and I know where my audience sits, I probably do a real breakdown of candy. Like just complete left field, like a random, and you know, it's cliche, like, hey guys, I'm just trying new shit. Like today, instead of breaking down a skincare product, I'm going to break down Nerds candies. Here we go. Like, and I think, you know, the occasional doing that is really psychologically helpful for people that have had the great fortune of being in the position that you're in, which you absolutely worked hard for and were strategic and creative in. And I'm really trying to get this conversation out to more of the influencers, and I can see it helping some people because they get very stuck into what they think they're supposed to do, which eventually corrodes and cancerizes the thing they loved.
Oh, wow. That's amazingly put. You couldn't have said it better. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's one of my fears, but thank you for that knowledge.
Tell everybody where they can find you before I let you out of here.
Yeah. So on YouTube, you can just find me at Hiram, H-Y-R-A-M. And on Instagram and TikTok, you can find me at Skincare by Hiram.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Let me know if I can ever be a help. Cheers.
Of course.
Bye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this interview. Please share it. Please leave me comments. Let me know if you want me to do more stuff like this. The insights to some of the pioneers in the current state of the attention economy. And so thank you one more time, Hiram. Have a wonderful, wonderful winter. Cheers.
You too. Thank you.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Influential by Panini Pete. Gary triggers your brain constantly. He's got me always questioning my results, reasons, motivation, the whys, and most importantly, how do I bring value to my world? Love his lessons. I'm a better leader, businessman, entrepreneur, and better dad. That's huge. Share this with all the people you care about. Thanks, Gary. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.